Blog Talk Radio.
Rocket Nation, what is going on? What is happening? Well, you already know what's happening. It's the Rocket Sports Breakdown here on BlogTalkRadio.com. The final show of 2014, and it could not have been on a better day. New Year's Eve, we're waiting for the ball drop in just a few more hours. Looking back on 2014, it was a great year for so many of us. There's been a lot of ups, a lot of downs, you know, a lot of different dramatic situations, good and bad, happening. And so all of us who are still here, we have persevered, we are still alive, we are still blessed to be here still as we move forward into 2015. Now, this will be the first two back-to-back shows. This show tonight will preview the NFC playoffs. And I got to say, we got two very interesting matchups to talk about within these next 30 minutes. Now, if you didn't know, Saturday, for the first time, ESPN will actually be hosting of NFL playoffs. And over the years, the Patriots have always been NBC doing two playoff games in one day. When it comes to wild card weekend, we have to do one more, and then possibly the last one, or the other, whichever one is first. Now, Fox is broadcasting the game between the Cowboys and Lions, or the Cowboys hosting the Lions. This upcoming Sunday at 4:15 p.m., I'm looking forward to that game personally. Then Saturday, ESPN is hosting the Cardinals. Kind of disappointed for the Cardinals to slide down to the 50 after being number one. Pretty much for much of the season, they stand on top of themselves until they had a little bit of collapse happened when Stanton went down with that injury. That kind of put a damper on the final finish towards getting a top two seed in the NFC postseason, which unfortunately didn't happen. Now they like the boys. Those two teams who were number one in the down stretch will have to do it the hard way. And both teams starting out on the road. Now, I will say that in the NFL playoffs, you never know what's going to happen. Stuff can go down, anything can come about, you never know who is going to do what. Nobody beat the Ravens 2 years ago, and they went all the way to the Super Bowl. Now, they got a home game in their favor, but, I mean, seriously, for them to go on the road and beat Tom Brady and Peyton Manning really said something. You know, the Steelers, they were the first team to go all the way to the Super Bowl and win. They did that back in 2005-2006. So, again, you never know how things are going to be until you get out there and you see them play. It's that simple. Just get out there and play. Make it happen. And just go about your business. You know, just go about your business. That's what it's about, there. We got a bit to talk about tonight, but we do have some breaking news. Now, a lot of coaches and quite a few of them have been fired as of this past weekend. Now we got a coach who's actually stepping down. If you didn't already know it, and you can go live to the NFL Network because we're talking about this right now as we speak. Doug Marrone has decided to opt out of his contract with the Buffalo Bills. He's no longer the head coach in Buffalo. Two seasons, posting a 15-17 record, and including this past year, going 9-7, which was Buffalo's best record and best finish since 2004 when they went 9-7. However, the Bills still currently now hold the NFL's longest playoff drought, going 15 seasons without making the playoffs. The last time they ran the playoffs was back in the 2000 wild card matchup against the Titans, which was known as the Music City Miracle game. And Bills fans to this day can't stand it. They don't even want to hear about that game. Some people will tell you in Buffalo that that was a worse feeling than Scott Norwood missing the field goal in their first Super Bowl appearance when they lost to the Giants 20-19 over two decades ago. Now, that is saying something when you consider being in the Super Bowl and actually missing the Super Bowl. Unbelievable. Now, some of the other coaches are no longer in office. Rex Ryan, he's no longer with the Jets. Mark Trestman, as well as the general manager, Phil Emery, he's no longer there. John Isaac, who's also the Jets general manager, he's no longer there. And you kind of saw some of these moves happening. You knew it was going to go down. You knew it. It was done. It was just simply done. And I'm not surprised to see some of these coaches be finished, unfortunately. Now, some of the other moves that have taken place now, the Redskins and defensive coordinator Jim Haslett has agreed to part ways. And that's not surprising either when you consider how bad the Redskins defense has been these last couple seasons. And a lot of people looked at him, including former linebacker London Fletcher, calling him a scapegoat, saying he don't know what he's doing. And when somebody comes out and says something like that, you might have to take that into question when your team is struggling. And the Redskins have been a very disappointing team these last couple years. Now, another coach that's not going anywhere, many of us thought that he would be gone, that is Tom Coughlin, who is now staying put with the Giants, along with the general manager. Those two guys are staying put. Jerry Reese, the general manager, he's not going anywhere. So Tom Coughlin still has an impressive resume, winning 2 Super Bowls in 5 years. But I will say this, though, because he hasn't been in the playoffs since his last Super Bowl victory. The Giants have gone 3 straight years, no playoff appearances. They better make the playoffs next year, because if they don't, then Coughlin has got to go. He's not the type of guy that's going to really coach the Giants 20-some-odd years or anything like that. He's not going to have that type of resume like Belichick with the Patriots. I just don't see that happening. That being said, the Giants have got to get it going next year. And there's a little bit of hope. Odell Beckham Jr., one of a handful of good rookie wideouts that really made a name for themselves here in the NFL. I mean, it was a great rookie class of wide receivers, I gotta say. He was the main catalyst. This guy, after missing the first 4 games of the season, he just started coming on strong. And these last 2 months, this guy has arguably been the biggest wide receiver name. Well, you just think about the catches he's made and just how he's bursting onto the NFL team. Give him credit. He's done some amazing things. The question is, can he keep it going next year and beyond? Now, going back to the playoff game, because like I said, we got 2 matchups that are going to take place this upcoming weekend. We got 4 wild card games that are going to be taking place, 2 of them from the NFC, of course, 2 of them from the AFC, of course. And I'm more intrigued by the NFC matchups because they're featuring 2 teams who have not faced each other all season long, and that's what you're looking forward to. Now, the Cardinals and Panthers will take place this Saturday at 4:30 p.m. on ESPN. For the first time ever, ESPN will be hosting and broadcasting an NFL playoff game. This matchup is intriguing because you think about just a month ago, Arizona was at the top. I mean, they were just flat out at the top of the NFC chart. Carolina was damn near at the bottom. Damn near at the bottom. And who would have thought it would take a Cam Newton car accident for this team to all of a sudden just start exploding a little bit? The Panthers finished the season winning 3 straight games, and Cam Newton has been the catalyst for that because of his play. I didn't expect the Panthers to go to the Georgia Dome and just beat down the Falcons from start to finish the way they did. Keep in mind, before that game, the Falcons were 5-0 in their division. They had already beaten the Panthers on the road earlier this year. And I'm thinking, you got Roddy White, you got Julio Jones, both healthy. Who on Carolina can hang with that? Well, apparently, they did, because the Falcons only scored 10 points. How disappointing is that? And when you just think about the Panthers this year, that offensive line in the middle of the season was bad of an offensive line as I've seen from any team this year. They couldn't protect Cam Newton. I go back to that game against Seattle. They were coming at him, blitzing, hitting him. I mean, it was like they were the bowling balls and Carolina's offensive linemen were the bowling pins. They absolutely refused to block for him. You talk about having a car accident, they almost let him get worse much more than that. So, meanwhile, with the Cardinals, they got off to such a fast start. This team was 9-1. 9-1. They lost three of their last four games. Well, actually, four of their last five games, if you include getting beat down twice by Seattle. Neither of those two games really, really close. Losing a tough one in Atlanta, and then, you know, losing at San Francisco to end the season, even though it really didn't matter because Seattle won their game, clinching in the NFC West title and the number one seed. But the Cardinals, though, it was a disappointing month. However, Bruce Arians deserves Coach of the Year. He's got my number one vote. And I will give it the second vote to a close one to Jim Caldwell because he's up there, too. But those were the two top, to me, those were the two candidates for Coach of the Year. Bruce Arians deserves it, you know, because he had to do more with less. The quarterback position was beat up. Carson Palmer this year was actually 6-0 as a starter. That's pretty amazing if you think about it. Now, I will say that despite that, Drew Stanton coming in, getting hurt, he done pretty well. Ryan Lindley had one terrible game against Seattle. But then again, I expected him to struggle, given the fact that it was his first career start. He had never thrown a touchdown pass prior to that point. They were going to start in Week 17 against San Francisco. The Cardinals were going to start Logan Thomas, but they decided to make the change at the last minute, put in Lindley, and that didn't really work out too well, allowing them to finish 11-5. I would have liked for them to have beaten San Francisco just to have a strong finish, give this team some confidence. You don't want to be limping into the postseason. However, in 2009, the Saints lost their last three games after starting 13-0, and they went on to the Super Bowl. But, of course, they had two games at home, so that helped. But when you're a team that has to go on the road, you really don't want to be limping into the postseason. However, the Cardinals should have plenty of reason to feel skeptical. Well, not necessarily skeptical, but confident, because their stadium will be the host of this year's Super Bowl. So that's something to think about. And what I'm looking forward to is I'm looking forward to seeing how this Cardinals team is going to look against Carolina. Keep in mind, the Cardinals' run defense has been relatively good this year. As for the Panthers, Jonathan Stewart has really been coming on strong this last month of the season. He has been running the ball with a purpose. This is what I'm looking forward to. I'm looking forward to this matchup. Now, Lindley is actually expected to get the start against Carolina. He's 1-5 all time as a starter. He finally threw a touchdown pass in the final week of the season. But that's it. That's it. Now, against San Francisco, he did throw two touchdowns. He threw three picks, though. But he did throw for a career-high 316 yards. Against Seattle, he had a 47.2 rating just the week before when they lost 35-6. That is what caused Bruce Arians to temporarily name Logan Thomas, who's a rookie, to start before eventually he turned it back over to Lindley. Carson Palmer is done. Drew Stanton is not expected to be in this game. We don't even know if he's going to play at all in this postseason, regardless if Arizona wins. It's a messy situation with the Cardinals quarterback situation. And earlier in the season, it looked like it was a messy situation for Cam Newton in Carolina. He failed to play all 16 games for the first time in his career. He only threw for 18 touchdowns, only had 5 touchdown runs, and his passer rating was 82.1. Those are all career lows, by the way. And this is his fourth season. Last year, he had a phenomenal year. That defense was coming on strong. He was playing well. The running game was there. Steve Smith was there. The Panthers were fortunate to go into the playoffs when you consider how dreadful the NFC South was. just absolutely how dreadful. So, that being said, this one, this matchup might be the most intriguing matchup. That's why I'm so excited about it, because I want to pick Carolina. I want to pick Arizona, I should say. I'm leaning towards Carolina because they're the hotter team right now. But this game really could go either way, because neither one of these teams right now has the total package, at least right now. I still think that Carolina has problems on the offensive line. I still think their defense is suspect. Now, their defense has been playing pretty well. Against Atlanta, they had 6 sacks, and they returned an interception, 84 yards for a touchdown. However, Cam Newton has never beaten the Cardinals. He's 0-2 against them all time. No touchdown passes, 3 interceptions last year, and 22-6 loss. So that's a little bit of motivation. Also, remember, the last time these two teams faced off in the postseason, Larry Fitzgerald went off. I mean, this guy, it was like he was trying to keep himself from being locked up and running away from the Panthers as if they were police officers or something. They were straight up, well, he straight up lit them up, I should say. Unbelievable. Now, that was many years ago. That was back in the 2008-2009 postseason. Larry Fitzgerald had one of the best postseason runs I've ever seen for a wide receiver. That's saying something when you consider the likes of Jerry Rice, Michael Irvin, guys who have won Super Bowls, you know, Andre Reed, guys who have gone to Super Bowls. You know, that's saying something. This matchup is a big matchup. Carolina should be thinking revenge, even though some of those players are still there, some of those teams. Now, last year, Carolina's only playoff appearance, their only playoff game, was a home loss to San Francisco 23-10. The Panthers have had their struggles in recent years against NFC West teams, particularly at home. They've lost the last 3 home matchups to Seattle. They lost at home last year to San Francisco in the playoffs. They lost a home playoff game to Arizona 6 years ago. So this is something to think about. If you're the Panthers, you want revenge. You want revenge. You really, 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 really want revenge. And you're going to do whatever it takes to accomplish that. So either way, I'm looking forward to this game. I can't wait. And if you just thinking about it, D'Angelo Williams, on his Twitter account, talked about that playoff loss from Arizona. He's one of 6 Carolina players on the current roster that played and participated in that game. Now, in that divisional round matchup against Arizona, Larry Fitzgerald had 8 catches for 166 yards and a touchdown. He looked invincible in that game. The Panthers need to be motivated. The Cardinals torched them 33-13 in Carolina. The Panthers had the number 2 seed. The Giants in that postseason had the number 1 seed. Both the Giants and the Panthers lost at home that weekend. The Giants lost to Philadelphia. Carolina lost to Arizona. Rarely do you see a number 1 seed and a number 2 seed in the same conference lose on the same weekend. That's a rare. So, if I'm D'Angelo Williams, I should be motivated to play. Jonathan Stewart, I should be motivated to play. And even all the Carolina players that weren't on that game, that weren't in that game, should be motivated to play. When you think about the brief Panthers playoff history in recent years. And remember, this team was in the Super Bowl 10 years ago. So, since then, they have not had that many playoff wins. They've only had 1 playoff win since that Super Bowl appearance. Actually, 2. two of them on the road against the Giants, against the Bears, the 2005 postseason. They lost to Seattle in the NFC Championship. They should be motivated. Arizona should be motivated too, limping into the postseason. This is going to be a very intriguing game. That being said, I really want to lean towards the Cardinals, but I'm going to pick the Panthers. They're the hotter team right now. They're the team that's been playing better down the stretch. And you got to give the nod to them. You just have to. They won. Actually, they won their last four games. It started with that rout in New Orleans, 41-10. They beat Tampa Bay at home 19-17. Cleveland at home 17-13. And then they trampled Atlanta 34-3. Not 10-3. My apologies on that. But anyway, this is going to be a very interesting game. Now, the Panthers, they've had some tough home outings this year. They've had some losses to Pittsburgh and Seattle and New Orleans and even Atlanta early this year. Those teams, some of those teams have better success being able to run the football. You're going to have to run the football if you are Atlanta. I mean, Arizona. You've got to be able to run the football. Jonathan Stewart has really been coming on strong as of lately. Kelvin Benjamin, the rookie, over 1,000 yards receiving. Greg Olsen, the tight end, also over 1,000 yards receiving. Luke Kuechly, one of the top linebackers in the game right now. I really, really want to go with the Panthers, and I think they will win this game. It's going to be a close game. It could come down to a field goal. But I got the Panthers winning because I think it's going to be – they got the edge at home. They're the hotter team right now. You got to give them the nod a little bit. But I won't be surprised if Arizona wins this game. But I'm going to go towards Carolina. They finished the year 7-8-1. This would be a major upset if they were able to beat a team that was 11-5. This would be the biggest playoff upset since Seattle beat New Orleans a few years back, or since Baltimore beat Denver in 2012, you know. So this will be big for the Panthers if they're able to win. And if they do win, more than likely, they'll end up taking on either Seattle or Green Bay on the road. Now let's go to this other game real quickly. The game I'm looking forward to the most, the Lions and the Cowboys. And yes, I'm happy as a Lions fan that Ndamukong Suh is now going to be back in the lineup. He went from having a one-game suspension to having it overturned less than 24 hours later to a fine of $70,000, which really isn't a lot of money to a guy like that, but to a guy like me, that's my life savings. Now, I will say that kick on Aaron Rodgers, or stump, whatever you want to call it, was nothing compared to what Dominic Raiola did 2 weeks ago in Chicago. It wasn't intentional. He got pushed into him. And that's why I haven't really said it. I'm like, you know what? I'm going to keep my comments to myself. I don't want to deal with the stupidity online, having to talk to people and having to convince them what it is and what it isn't or whatever. Because guys are going to argue about it all the time. Now, that being said, it is good to have him in the lineup. The number one ranked rushing attack defense against DeMarco Murray, who led the league in rushing this year. He had over 1,800 yards, eclipsing Emmitt Smith back in 1995 when he had a franchise career rushing yard in the season. DeMarco Murray eclipsed that this year. And here's the funny thing. The Lions and Cowboys are getting ready to face each other in the playoffs again. The Lions have won just one playoff game since 1957. It was in 1992. Ironically, it was against the Cowboys. That game took place at the old Pontiac Silverdome, 38-6. Barry Sanders had a phenomenal touchdown run. After being kind of quiet, neutralized a little bit for much of the game, had that broke out run. And that's what, back then with Barry Sanders, that's all you needed. All you needed was just one breakout run, and you were off. And he was off to the races. That's all he needed. Fast forward, 23, 24 years later, and here we are again. Now, the last time the Lions and Cowboys played each other in Texas, it was back in 2011. It was in week 4. The Lions were 3-0 prior to the game. They finished 4-0 because they came back and won. They were down 27-3 about midway through the third quarter. They mounted an amazing comeback. It was one of the best comebacks you'll ever see in recent years, and one of the best comebacks and biggest comebacks in NFL history. Tony Romo threw 2 interceptions, one by Dan Carpenter, who was a former Cowboy, then with the Lions at that time, returned back for a touchdown. Chris Houston, no longer here, returned for a touchdown. And then Calvin Johnson went to work after that, catching a deep pass in the end zone over 3 defenders, was able to outjump all of them, secure the ball. It was beautiful to watch that. Then he caught a jump bound pass, which allowed them to take the lead, and they end up holding on and winning 34-30. It was amazing. It was a total meltdown by the Cowboys, one of the biggest meltdowns I've ever seen in franchise history. And Tony Romo took a beating in the paper. He just was, it was embarrassing for him. Just embarrassing. Fast forward a little bit to 2013 in the middle of the season. These two teams played at Ford Field. And the Lions had another comeback. They came back and won 31-30. That classic game, Dez Bryant melting off on the sideline like somebody stole his ice cream sandwich or something. Now, before that game, he was talking big about wanting to be like Calvin Johnson, doing whatever Calvin Johnson can do. Well, Dez, we're going to see what you can do this upcoming weekend, because you're facing a Lions defense which is even tougher than what you have been facing before in previous years. This defense overall is still a stout defense. And that secondary is a better secondary than I've seen in recent years, especially with the safeties, Glover Quinn and James Ahedigbo. And even Darius Slay has come on and played a little bit better this year. Rasheem Mathis, the veteran, who I expect to be covering Dez Bryant, or it very well could be Darius Slay. You might see those guys rotate a little bit. You're certainly going to see Dez Bryant lined up in different positions. He could be lined up outside, inside. So both cornerbacks, to me, are really going to get a chance to test him. As for the Cowboys' defense, who are you going to get to cover Calvin Johnson? And you better have a plan, because last year he caught 14 passes, 329 yards, most in NFL history through 4 quarters. Now, Flipper Anderson, back in the late 80s, had one game where he had over 336 yards, but he needed overtime to do it, basically. The last 2 times Calvin Johnson faced the Cowboys, he's torched that secondary. Last year, they single covered him, which I thought was stupid for them to do that. Y'all better have a plan. Y'all better have a serious, serious plan. I got to go with my team. I'm going to go with the Lions to win this game. I got a feeling that Romo and company are going to choke again. I got the Lions winning in a close game. It could be in the 30s. We'll see. Now, tune in tomorrow, y'all. We're going to preview the AFC. That'll do it for tonight's show. Thank you all for tuning in. For those of you who have tuned in, we're about to drop the ball in 5 hours, y'all. Y'all be safe tonight. Do what you do. Be careful. Happy 2015 from Rocket to all the Rocket Nation. God bless every single one of you. Catch the Rocket Sports Breakdown tomorrow. Times will be determined later this evening on Facebook. As for Rocket signing off, Rocket Nation 2015, get ready for a power trip. We'll see y'all tomorrow. Take care.